This is a BloomerBoomer.com podcast with host Andy Asher.
Well, hi again, everyone. This is another in the series of BloomerBoomer.com interviews that we're focusing on life over 55. Now, it's about what engages or impassions you and others about life, whether it's a job, a vocation, a hobby, a family member. It can be just about anything, about transitioning from one big experience to another. What was it like for others who did it? The discipline, the struggle, disappointment, and exhilaration. Well, today we speak with a gentleman with a most fascinating story, but if you are an author or aspiring to be, his advice could actually change your life. Now, with that build-up, let's introduce to you the soft-spoken, humble-sounding man of action, John Lyman, author of God's Lions series of books. His thrillers have captured the imagination of readers around the world, and currently, a movie of his is in development at a major motion picture studio. Now, with that, John Lyman, it's an honor to speak to you today.
It's an honor to be here, too. Basically, I'm from Texas. You can probably tell a little bit by the accent. I spent most of my career in the medical field. I was an RN, emergency room, and ICU, trauma nurse, flight nurse. And before that, I was military, and I was a police officer for 6 years. And so I have a kind of a wide background, as you mentioned, for drawing on when I got to retirement age and decided I wanted to write, which I think is really important for a writer. You have to live some life a little bit to have a story to tell.
So I guess, John, what I hear you saying is that life experiences in themselves can really add to making for a better author.
It really helps. It really helps. You know, any kind of, you know, when you travel somewhere and you have the sights and the smells and the sounds of the place you're visiting, and that stays with you. And as a writer, you want to convey that to your readers. And the more of those experiences you have, the easier it is to write about it. So I think people who are retired are almost a step ahead of the game, because I don't know if I could have written this book when I was 21 years old.
So, John, let's just go ahead and jump into all that you're doing, because with all those 50, 60 years of experience, I know it's led into what you're doing now, and your current work is the God's Lions series.
It's a total of 4 books, starting out with God's Lions, The Secret Chapel, my first novel. I kind of just jumped right in and wrote a novel right off the bat without people were surprised that I didn't, you know, start off with short stories and things. But the story needed, it had to be novel length to be told. And then that led to the next 3 books in the series, because people kept writing me saying they loved the characters and they loved the story and they wanted to see it continue. So, and then I miss the characters myself, to be honest, because it is a passion. Once you get started writing, it becomes something you do every day. And, you know, if you enjoy that sort of thing, I highly recommend it.
So, John, you've done a lot of exciting things in your life, in the military, a police officer, a nurse, emergency room activity. You know, that's excitement. Do you think all this time you were a natural writer, it was just inside of you somewhere?
Well, yeah, you know, as a kid or teenager, I read a lot of Ian Fleming, which was pretty big back in the 60s. And from there, you know, I got involved in life, and, you know, I was raising a family and so forth. So I really kind of didn't have time to do it. I should go back here. Ian Fleming was an influence as far as wanting to write, because I wanted to write stories like that. And so as time went on and those things kind of get pushed to the background when you're raising a family and involved in a career, didn't really have time until I approached retirement age to start writing. And once I started, I realized that, wow, I wish I would have been doing this, you know, 20, 30 years ago, because I really like it.
So you thought early on that maybe you had the bug for it.
Yeah. I always had it in the back of my mind. I'd sit down and start pounding out a story and then put it in a drawer. And that's kind of what happened with the last book. You know, I don't know if you want to hear the story about how that started.
Well, yeah, I do, and I share your passion to Ian Fleming, because I know in those days my brother and I would be sharing those dog-eared books, and couldn't get enough of what he, how he wrote and what he wrote.
You know, especially at that stage of life, you know, it's very exciting and international.
And that, which, of course, led to the financially lucrative series of 007 and everything else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if he would have lived to see what he started, I mean, that's been going on for 50 years now.
That's right. So, yeah, go ahead with... I interrupted, so go ahead.
No, no. I'm here to answer whatever you need to know. God's Line is the first book I wrote. We were living in Hawaii at the time, and I was just kind of laying on the beach reading a book called The Bible Code by Michael Drosnin. And it was a fascinating story, nonfiction story, about some researchers, mathematicians specifically, that discovered a hidden code in the Old Testament, the Torah. And I thought, you know, this would be a great vehicle for a fiction story. And I sat down and wrote, well, probably the first 25 pages, and put it in a drawer. And my mother came to visit. And she it was in the guest room, and she found it, and she came out to me the next morning, and she said, you know, you need to finish the story, because I got to know what happened. And so I mulled it over, and eventually led on to writing the story. And it's a lot of people classify it as religious fiction. Some people classify it as action-adventure. I myself call it a spiritual thriller. Not a religious book, but it's a thriller based on a religious theme. The protagonist is a Catholic priest who travels to Rome at the request of one of his colleagues, another Jesuit priest in Rome, and they've discovered something there, without giving too much of the book away. and actually, you know, it's the title of the book is The Secret Chapel, so people can probably figure out that that's what they've discovered, but there's a discovery there that leads them to another discovery in Israel. So it's all based on being led to, this, let me go back, the discovery that they make in Rome, they're led to that by the code in the Bible. And from clues that they discover there and more codes that they discover in the Bible, that leads them to the Holy Land, where they make another discovery.
Well, interesting. Well, tell us, how do you know whether you have the bug to write, or whether you have the ability? Is it just something you just have to start? How do you know?
I get that all the time. Actually, it's kind of a hard question to answer, because it's different for each individual. I don't know if anybody ever really knows that they want to be a writer. I mean, if you read some of the autobiographies of some of the great writers, you know, you kind of wonder, well, what really started them? It never really explains, you know, how they got started. Stephen King's a good example. He taught English, and so that was kind of a natural progression there. But for someone who's not involved in that and doesn't have a Master of Fine Arts degree or whatever, I think you just have to sit down and start writing. And you'll know soon enough if it's for you or if it's not.
Think of a lonely chore, is that right?
Yeah, I always laugh with my wife. I said, well, you know, if you like to spend your days alone in a room with a in front of a word processor with your cat next to you, it's a good job.
You're right about that. Okay, so we'll... from there, then, you learned the world of publishing, and I was reading a little bit about the synopsis about how you migrated from, I guess, traditional into indie publishing. I'm sure that's a story in itself, but tell us a little bit about that, what brought you to how you came about publishing the book.
Well, I started back in 2009, and e-books and Amazon KDP and those type of things were just, you know, kind of coming to fruition. And I knew I had to self-publish because I was an unknown author. I didn't have an agent. I read several books. I'm sure people listening who are thinking about being a writer have done the same thing. And you read books on how to be a how to write a novel and how to get a publisher and how to get an agent, and it's just such a tedious, long process. And as far as books that tell you how to write a novel, I don't think I would go there, because you know, it's you just need to know how to do it yourself. I'm kind of getting tongue-tied here. Sorry.
Yeah. No. So that takes us to going to learn about how to be a writer and how to publish, to actually the hands-on part of doing it. And you have learned that, it sounds like, just from doing, and nobody really taught you how to do it. You just learned by the school of hard knocks, I guess.
Well, exactly. It's kind of a long story, but I started off with another self-publisher besides Amazon. Amazon's great. They really changed my life. I'll have to say that right off the bat, because they're very easy to work with. But I started off with another publisher, invested a lot of money, had an editor, a professional editor, edit the book, and didn't really do much. Then I discovered Amazon and ebooks. So I had my book converted to ebook form, and it went on Amazon. And, you know, at first it started off kind of slow. And then the next thing I knew, it was being linked to other books. You know, how you look at Amazon, it says, well, if you like this book, you'll like this book. So I started being linked to other books. And next thing I knew, I'm linked to 50 books. So people who are reading those are looking at my book, too. And it started just picking up. And next thing I knew, I was number one in my genre on Amazon. And all four of my books have reached the number one spot in their genre, or several genres, actually, because the people who read the first book wanted to continue reading the next books. And all this was through self-publishing and Amazon KDP, which is Kindle Direct Publishing. That's what KDP means. It's very simple. I mean, if you write a book and you put it in Word format and you have it converted, which I would highly recommend, by a reputable ebook person that knows how to do that. I went with ebook architects, and then they send you back the files and you upload them on Amazon and you're good to go. I would also suggest having a good cover design, having a good graphic artist, because that's the first thing people see. And that's how I started.
And that's where you are today. And now, at some point or another, do you then graduate or move towards a hardback or a hardcover book?
Well, at the same time as I was doing the ebook, I changed from the previous publisher I was using, and I went to CreateSpace, which is also an Amazon company, and they do an excellent job of creating a 6x9 paperback, actually. A larger format paperback, but they do a beautiful job, and I send them my manuscript, and they convert it, and they do it all for me. I mean, you know, if you want them to make it into an ebook, they'll do that too. If you just want to, write your memoirs and have them send you books to hand to family and friends, they'll do that too. But it's for sale on Amazon. They'll put it up on the market on Amazon for you.
So you just basically do the manuscript and somebody else takes it from there.
Exactly. Yeah, they do it all for you, because it's pretty complex. I mean, if you can do it yourself and upload it onto the KDP site, but I've never been a technical person, and when I got the directions on how to do that, I thought, well, I think I'll just let them do it for me.
Well, so that's where you are today. So it sounds like others who may have the desire or the passion or interest in being an author and publishing, there aren't really too many obstacles in the way to do it.
Well, it's true. And you know, I got a call from a lady who's retired a few months ago, and she was being hounded by a self-publisher because she contacted him wanting to self-publish a book. And they want to charge her like $10,000, which is just really ridiculous. I mean, you know, retired people can't afford that. And that's way too much anyway. So I told her, no, don't don't go there. You need to call Create Space right away. They'll take care of you. And so she did, and she called me back really thrilled. She had a great experience, and she spent a tenth of what the other company wanted to charge her.
I know in the publishing industry, they talk about genres. In other words, some genres are more popular than others, you know, romance, action, Western. Are there some that are more popular that you're finding right now?
Romance genre is big. I'm not sure about action and adventure. I know I get listed up there in the top 10 with that sometimes because my book is listed in that category. Religious fiction, that's another big category. So it just depends. I think what helped me the most was I got a good review from a major newspaper, which is really hard to do as a self-published author. And that kind of led people to the book also.
Oftentimes when I read fiction, I wonder how in the world does this author pull all those stories from somewhere in his mind? But, you know, we forget how much research is involved in writing a fiction novel.
Oh, yeah. We'll take the Secret Chapel, for instance. That took a year of research. I spoke to the senior cryptologist at the NSA. He's retired now. I quote him at the beginning of the book. He and I spoke twice. Very nice gentleman. He actually set out to disprove the fact that there was a code in the Bible, but what he found instead was that there was a code in the Bible. And he ran like a 19-day-long calculation on his home computer and found out that there was a 99.998% chance that the code was real. You know, there's a lot he couldn't discuss with me because naturally he worked for the NSA, but he pointed me in the right direction. I also spoke with Michael Drosnin, who wrote the Bible Code. Didn't get a whole lot from him because I think he looked at me as a competing author, but I tried to explain that I was writing a fiction book and he wrote a nonfiction book. But he's very knowledgeable in the subject. And then from there, you know, nowadays, you can just, you don't have to go down to the library and spend hours researching something. You can Google it. And you've got Wikipedia. You've got all kinds of information on the Internet that's right there. So if you're retired, you know, you can do your research a lot easier than, say, back in college days when you had to haunt the library till 10 o'clock at night.
From the military to a police officer to the intense environment of an emergency room, and now this life as an author. You're on a new path. Do you expect it to stay that way?
Well, I plan on doing it. You know, it's something that, writing is something you can do at any age. And, you know, it's not something that requires a lot of physical endurance. So, you know, it's something I plan on continuing because I developed a passion for it. If it was just for money or any other reason, I don't think I could do it. It's just too hard of a job. You have to really love it. And, you know, I think the first hurdle people have come to is just sitting down and writing that first page. And then go to page two, go to page three. You know, I spend sometimes 7-10 hours a day writing. And you have to really be enthusiastic about not only writing, but what you're writing about and your characters and your story. If it's a nonfiction story, then you have to be passionate about that, too.
Well, I think you said it there a second ago. You have to be passionate about it and not be doing it for the money.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, if you're doing it for the money, yeah, you're doing it for the wrong reasons because, you know, I didn't do it for the money or to become a famous author or anything like that. I did just because I liked it. And I think you need to approach it that way because for every success story, you know, there are those stories that aren't so successful. But it's like I was explaining to this person the other day who self-published, you know, and they were bemoaning the fact that their books weren't selling better. I'm like, well, look at it this way. You've written a novel. Not everybody can say that.
That's a great attitude. Do you have a lot of other ideas inside of your head?
Yeah. I'm writing a fifth book now. It's not in the God's Line series. It's a different story with different characters. I kind of needed a break from that, and then we'll see where we go with the screenplay part of things, the movie part of things. That's a whole other story, but I'm going to be involved in that too. Right now I'm writing with two screenwriters, Chris Sabelli and Cindy Hemingway. They work on the CBS series The Mentalist, and they're my co-screenwriters. And they work out there in, out of the Warner Brothers studios, I believe. So I'm working with them now. And, you know, my plate's kind of full.
So, John, this is one in a series of interviews we're doing about life over 55, about what engages or impassions you and others in life, whether it's a job, a vocation, a hobby, a family member. So John, let me ask you, what might be some pointers, if you will, or advice, or just sharing some thoughts about what might inspire others to do something like what you've done?
So it's never over. You know, you keep on going and lightning strikes. I think you need to approach it with optimism, first of all. As a nurse, I used to see that all the time, that people who are optimistic fared better than the people who weren't. So I think you need to approach life at this stage of the game with a sense of optimism. Whatever you decide to do, you know, if it's, whether it's riding or golf or tinkering with old cars, whatever you want to do, just be passionate about it. Make sure you enjoy it. You know, there's life short. You don't want to do something you don't enjoy.
Well, John, that's a very inspirational story. Now, just from the nuts and bolts standpoint, again, maybe to recap a little bit about what we talked about, if somebody wants to pursue the indie publishing route, how might they start out?
Well, you know, I don't want to sound like a commercial for Amazon, but I am. You know, they've really changed my life, and I would heartily recommend that if anybody's thinking about writing a book, once they have their manuscript complete and it's been looked over, and I would highly recommend that also. There's only one book I would recommend for someone to read before they start writing, and that's Stephen King's book on writing. It's an excellent book. But anyway, once you get to that stage, call CreateSpace. They'll walk you through the process. You'll get a physical book. You'll get an e-book. You can upload it on Amazon. And from there, you're on your way.
Well, John, I'm a wannabe writer, and everything you said is so inspirational. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to our BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts, and you can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Oh, and we encourage you to leave a comment in the podcast reply section. And finally, we would love it if you'd register to receive our newsletter. Thanks again.